Good morning, Symphony Church. Today's devotion comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. In this passage, Peter reminds us of the joy and blessing that comes in suffering for righteousness' sake. After I received salvation, for a while, I thought that suffering just meant going to another country, not sleeping, and preaching the gospel to people without ceasing. But over the years, I've come to realize that one of the ways that we most often suffer for righteousness is in simply pouring out the unconditional love that we've received through the blood of Jesus. After exhorting us to be zealous for good and to bless those who revile us, Peter says in verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God," reminding us that this is the love we have received for ourselves. We often quote the scripture, "Love your enemies," but there are so many times, even within Christian community, that once we feel the pain of loving our enemies or those who are different from us, we begin to withhold our love and withhold ourselves. I don't know if you relate, but in my hurt, I can very easily justify why the other person is wrong and fail to remember this call to love people as they are, not because of anything they do, whether they're right or wrong, but simply because they are God's creation, just as God loved us without conditions. I think sometimes we don't realize how weighty and how painful this calling to simply love like Jesus has loved us can be. But I believe that it's in this place where we humble ourselves to love, even when we are hurt or misunderstood, that we get to experience the depth of the gospel, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's in this place where we feel all these negative emotions towards people who hurt us that we realize how amazing it is that we have been forgiven by a perfect God.
I used to think dying to the flesh looked like just sacrificing things for God. I perceived it as things like losing sleep for ministry or giving up an internship or PTO to serve. These are all ways we can die to ourselves if God calls us to it, but I think more than our sacrifices, dying to our flesh is reflected in our love and in our humility. I don't know if you relate, but it's honestly easier for me to lose sleep for missions or ministry than it is to forgive someone who betrayed my trust. But that is the grace and love we are called to live out. I quoted verse 18 earlier, but again, it says that in order to bring us to God, Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. We didn't deserve it, but because Jesus' desire was for us to be with God forever, he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. This is the unconditional love that we have received. And I want to ask us, as God's people today, are we willing to do the same? Have we truly humbled ourselves in a way that we are able to bless those who revile us and to suffer for righteousness' sake? When it comes down to it, are we truly willing to pour ourselves out for people who have rejected us, misunderstood us, or even reviled us, simply so that they might know the hope and the grace that we have received for ourselves? Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you that you are willing to suffer for sinners like us so that we could be with you forever. Lord, we just thank you for this love and this grace that we have received. And God, I pray that it would be your love that empowers us to really be able to love others and to be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. And God, as we reflect on the gospel, as we reflect on your truth, would it humble us, Lord, knowing that it's not something that we did or that we deserved, but Lord, it is truly only by your grace and by your love that we are able to live in the fullness of life and joy with you. And God, would you give us hearts of compassion that desire to see others around us also receive this gift of salvation. Yet, Lord, would your Holy Spirit be with us, and would you empower us to really do your will? And as we seek your kingdom, Lord, will we come to know you more and just fall more and more in love with you? We thank you, Lord, so much for your love and for who you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name.